Ever wonder what it would be like to own a piece of history that comes with its own ghostly resident? Well, buckle up, because by the end of this episode, you might think twice about picking up that vintage mirror at your next flea market visit. So grab your covers, turn off the lights, and let the frights begin. Happiest day, beautiful soul. Welcome back to The Medium Matters, the podcast where we're all mini mystics learning about the paranormal, the supernatural, and all the things together. And everyone is rose quartz lovely. I'm your host, Chantel, and today we're bringing the creepy with some haunted goodies to keep you up at night. So, you heard it already. Grab your cozies, slip under the covers, and let's get this fright fest going. Our story begins in 2001 when a man named Kevin Manis stumbled upon an old wine cabinet box at an estate sale in Portland, Oregon. The cabinet was simple, unassuming, and seemed like a great find. Speaking with the seller, Manis learned the box belonged to a now deceased 103-year-old woman who was a Holocaust survivor. She acquired the box during her time in Spain, and it was among the few things she brought with her when she migrated to America after the war. The seller and granddaughter of the decedent told Manis she recalled the box was always closed and placed out of reach, with her grandmother stating it was never ever to be opened. Little did Manis know, he was about to unleash a world of paranormal activity. Manis bought the cabinet and brought it to his antique shop. Almost immediately, strange things began to happen. Lights would flicker, strange smells would waft through the air, and inexplicable cold spots would suddenly appear. But the real horror began when Manis decided to open the box. This was no ordinary wine cabinet. This was a Dybbuk box. Inside this Dybbuk box, Manis found two 1920s pennies, a lock of blonde hair bound with a cord, a lock of black or brown hair bound with a cord, a small statue engraved with the Hebrew word shalom, a small golden wine goblet, one dried rosebud, and a single candle holder with four octopus-shaped legs. At first glance, these items seemed completely harmless, but their presence hinted at something far more sinister. Manis soon began to experience terrifying nightmares, and his health started to deteriorate. He even claimed to see shadowy figures lurking in the corners of his vision. Desperate for answers, he decided to research the box's origins. Manis discovered that the box was believed to house a Dybbuk, a restless and malevolent spirit from Jewish folklore. According to legend, a Dybbuk is a disembodied soul that clings to the living, often causing harm and misfortune. Realizing the gravity of the situation, Manis tried to get rid of the box by posting it on eBay along with its detailed history and recent disturbances. The box was sold to a young couple, but they quickly returned it, claiming it had brought them nothing but bad luck. The box ended up changing hands several times, with each new owner reporting similar experiences of nightmares, health issues, and eerie phenomena. The Dybbuk box eventually found its way to Jason Haxton, the director of the Museum of Osteopathic Medicine. Haxton was intrigued by the box's dark history and decided to investigate further. However, he too began to experience strange occurrences. His health deteriorated, and he was plagued by disturbing dreams and unexplained phenomena. Determined to put an end to the box's curse, Haxton sought the help of rabbis and spiritual leaders. They performed rituals to seal the Dybbuk back inside the box, hoping to contain its malevolent energy. The legend of the Dybbuk box has captured the public's imagination, inspiring books, documentaries, and even a Hollywood movie, The Possession. Its story serves as a chilling reminder of the power of belief and the mysteries that lie hidden in the objects around us. In 2020, Zach Baggins and three other members of the Ghost Adventures team quarantined themselves inside Baggins' haunted museum for 2 weeks to film and investigate this Dybbuk box. According to Baggins, it was an anxiety-driven investigation as raw and intense as we have ever done. The scariest moment for me is what I saw and felt. We captured on camera an unbelievable mist coming out of the box that manifested eyes. Baggins also believes he saw the Dybbuk entity crouching down towards the wall behind the box. Fast forward to 2021, so 1 year later. During an interview, Kevin Manis, the person who kicked off our chilling tale by purchasing the Dybbuk box at an estate sale, confessed to fabricating the entire story. From the Dybbuk box to the woman who acquired it in Spain, to the items within the box, the whole shebang. Manis stated, "I'm the original creator of the story of the Dybbuk box, which appeared as one of my eBay posts back in 2003. The idea that Dybbuk boxes have some kind of history prior to my story, and the idea that a Dybbuk box could contain anything other than a Dybbuk, along with any deviation to the type of contents I created to be found inside of a Dybbuk box, is laughable at best. How about this? If you or anyone else can find any reference to a Dybbuk box anywhere in history prior to my eBay post, I'll pay you $100,000 and tattoo your name on my forehead." Well then, I wonder what this means for everyone who came in contact with the box, including the Ghost Adventures team. Was this the power of suggestion? Did the box eventually become a collection of its owners' anxieties and fears? I think it's safe to say that we may never truly know, but the story is super entertaining. Our next story begins in 1970 when a young nursing student named Donna received an innocent-looking Raggedy Ann doll from her mother as a birthday gift. Seems harmless, right? But soon, Donna and her roommate Angie discovered that this was no ordinary toy. At first, it was little things. They'd leave the doll on Donna's bed, only to find it in a different position when they returned. Sometimes it would even appear in entirely different rooms. They started finding cryptic notes written on parchment paper, a type they didn't even own, saying things like, "Help us," or "Help Lou." And Lou, by the way, was Angie's boyfriend. And trust me, Lou was not a fan of this doll. Lou had been feeling uneasy about the doll from the start, convinced it was evil. One night, he had a vivid nightmare. In it, he woke up to find this doll crawling up his leg, moving to his chest, and then slowly starting to strangle him. He woke up in such a panic and drenched in sweat. But that wasn't the worst part. On another occasion, Lou heard noises coming from Donna's room and upon investigating, found himself attacked by an unseen force, leaving claw marks on his chest. Terrified and desperate, Donna and Angie reached out to a medium. The medium claimed that the doll was inhabited by the spirit of a young girl named Annabelle Higgins who had died in the area. The spirit felt comfortable with Donna and Angie and just wanted to be loved and cared for. Sympathetic, the two young women gave the spirit permission to stay. But it wasn't long before they realized they'd made a grave mistake. The activity escalated. Now, it wasn't just the doll moving around on its own or leaving notes. The girls experienced violent disturbances, and Lou's encounters with the doll grew even more aggressive, if that's possible. Enter Ed and Lorraine Warren, renowned paranormal investigators. After examining Annabelle, the Warrens concluded that the doll wasn't possessed by a child spirit at all, but by a demonic entity that had used the guise of a child to gain their trust. The Warrens took the doll and placed it in their occult museum, where it remains to this day, locked inside a specially made glass case with a warning, "Positively, do not open." Despite being confined, Annabelle is said to still exhibit paranormal activity, reminding everyone that this is one doll you definitely don't want to play with. So what are your thoughts? Is Annabelle just a creepy doll, or is she something far more sinister? Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, the story of Annabelle serves as a chilling reminder that sometimes the scariest things are those that seem innocent on the surface. Our next story takes us to a painting with a hot history, if you will. This is the story of the Crying Boy painting, which isn't just one painting, but a series of paintings created by Spanish artist Bruno Amadio, also known as Giovanni Bragolin, in the 1950s. These mass-produced prints featured various images of teary-eyed kids, often with large, sad eyes and quivering lips. The paintings became very popular in British homes during the 70s and 80s, but little did these homeowners know, they might have been inviting more than just a conversation piece into their living rooms. Our story really kicks off in 1985 when a British tabloid, The Sun, published an article titled "Blazing Curse of the Crying Boy." The piece detailed how a firefighter named Alan Wilkinson had noticed these paintings, unscathed, in the ruins of burned houses in Rotherham, South Yorkshire. Wilkinson was quoted as saying, "I've seen it myself. The painting is always left completely undamaged, no matter how badly the rest of the room has been burned." As you can probably imagine, this story spread like wildfire. More and more people came forward with similar tales. The Sun, never one to miss an opportunity for a good scare, continued to publish stories about the cursed painting. People reported finding the crying boy painting untouched in burned out buildings all across the UK. Some even claimed that attempts to destroy the painting had failed, that it wouldn't burn when they tried to set it on fire. People came out in droves to share their own experience with the painting. One woman said that she, her sister, her mother, and a friend had all suffered fires since buying copies of the picture. In a separate incident, a pair of the paintings hanging in the living and dining rooms of a family home were found intact after a gas explosion destroyed the entire building. A London woman destroyed her painting, believing it to be responsible for the loss of her son, daughter, husband, and mother in separate fire-related incidents. A Gloucestershire man helped to destroy a neighbor's picture, only to return home to find his own living room ablaze for unexplainable reasons. In an unrelated incident, firefighters responded to a house fire where they discovered a deceased 67-year-old man. Lying next to his body was a copy of the crying boy painting. One of the firefighters who assisted with the blaze said, "I've never believed in a jinx up until now, but when you actually come across a picture in a gutted room and it's literally the only thing that hasn't been touched, it is most odd." We'll never truly know what was happening. Some have theorized that the paintings didn't burn because they were printed on compressed hardwood, making them fire resistant. Others have said the paintings continued to survive fires because they had been treated with a fire retardant varnish. Some believe the paintings' curse is actually a form of spontaneous human combustion triggered by the negative emotions depicted in the art. Whether you believe in the curse or not, there is no denying the impact this story had on British culture. The panic got so bad that the Sun eventually organized mass burnings of the paintings. Today, the crying boy painting is more likely to be found in a thrift store than on someone's wall, but its legacy lives on in our paranormal history. What do you believe? Curse? Fire retardant varnish? Coincidence? Share your theories. Our next story begins in 1904 in Key West, Florida. Young Robert Eugene Otto, known as Gene, received a unique gift, a life-size doll dressed as a naval officer. The doll was reportedly made by the Steiff Company in Germany, known for their high-quality stuffed animals. But this was no ordinary toy. Legend has it that the doll was given to Gene by a Bahamian servant who practiced voodoo. Gene was thrilled with this new companion, whom he named after himself, Robert. It didn't take long for strange things to start happening in the Otto household. Gene's parents would hear him talking to Robert in his room, which isn't unusual for a kid with an imaginary friend. The weird part? They could hear another voice answering back. Objects would be found moved or knocked over in the house, and when confronted, Gene would always say the same thing. Robert did it. As Gene grew older, his attachment to Robert didn't wane. In fact, it seemed to intensify. Visitors to the Otto home reported seeing Robert's expression change or seeing the doll move slightly. Some even claimed to hear giggling coming from the room where Robert was kept. But the real kicker? Gene's wife, Anne, absolutely hated the doll. She insisted it be kept in the attic, but that didn't stop Robert's alleged antics. Servants would quit claiming they heard footsteps coming from the attic or saw Robert moving around the house. After Gene's death in 1974, Robert was left in the attic of the Otto home. The new owner's 10-year-old daughter became Robert's new friend. She claimed that the doll would move around her room at night and even attack her. Today, Robert resides in the Fort East Martello Museum in Key West, where he continues to freak out visitors and staff alike. People report seeing his expression change, hearing giggles, and even experiencing camera malfunctions when trying to take his picture without permission. And did I forget to mention? Robert demands respect. Visitors are required to ask his permission before taking photos, and those who mock or disrespect him allegedly suffer from bad luck, broken relationships, and even accidents. Robert has become something of a celebrity in the paranormal world. He's inspired books, movies, and even has his own Instagram account. This, I think I need to see. The legend of Robert the Doll is a fascinating blend of history and the supernatural. And whether you believe in curses or not, there is no denying the chilling experiences of those who have crossed paths with this seemingly innocent toy. So what are your thoughts? Is Robert really cursed? Or is he just the product of overactive imaginations fueled by eerie coincidences? Imagine stumbling upon a painting at a thrift store, an artwork that immediately sends shivers down your spine. This is exactly what happened in 2000 when an unsuspecting couple bought a peculiar piece titled The Hands Resist Him from an eBay auction. Little did they know, the painting would soon gain a reputation as one of the most haunted artworks in existence. The Hands Resist Him was painted in 1972 by artist Bill Stoneham. Now, Bill wasn't trying to create a haunted painting. He was just a guy with a canvas and a vision. The painting depicts a young boy and a creepy doll-like figure standing in front of a glass-paneled door. Behind the door, you can see several pairs of hands pressed against the glass. Bill says the painting was based on a childhood photograph of himself with a neighbor girl. The door, he claims, represents the dividing line between the waking world and the world of dreams and possibilities. But here's where it gets weird. The gallery owner who first displayed the painting and the art critic who reviewed it both died within a year of coming into contact with it. Coincidence? Fast forward to February of 2000, and a couple in California puts the painting up for sale on eBay. But this wasn't your average art listing. Nope, these folks had a story to tell. They claimed that the figures in the painting moved at night, sometimes even leaving the canvas altogether. They said their young daughter had seen the boy in the painting enter her room, and that they'd caught the figures moving on motion-activated cameras. The listing went viral before going viral was even a thing. Intrigued by bizarre claims, thousands of people visited the auction page, and many reported feeling uneasy or physically ill just from looking at the images of the painting. Some even claimed that their electronic devices would malfunction or that they experienced unexplained phenomena in their homes after viewing the painting online. The painting ended up earning the nickname eBay's Haunted Painting. The couple who sold it was kind enough to include a disclaimer saying they were not responsible for any supernatural consequences that might befall the buyer. So what happened to the painting after it was sold? Well, it was bought by Perception Gallery in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And surprisingly, they didn't report any ghostly goings-ons. No moving figures, no creepy dolls wandering the gallery at night, nothing. But the story doesn't end there. The original artist, Bill Stoneham, was shocked to learn about the painting's reputation. He had no idea it had become an internet sensation, but he did reveal something interesting. He had painted two more works in the same series, so there are potentially two more haunted paintings just floating around out there. The Hands Resist Him definitely left its mark. It's inspired creepy pastas, YouTube videos, and countless discussions on paranormal forums. It's even been featured in lists of the world's most haunted objects. Is the painting actually haunted? Probably not. But does it have the power to unsettle, to provoke thought, to spark imagination? Absolutely. And isn't that what art is all about? And that brings us to the end of our episode, my friend. Five of the most haunted objects that are sure to give you the sleepless nights. From dolls to paintings, these artifacts remind us that sometimes the most terrifying things aren't just in our imagination. If you enjoyed this episode, and I really hope that you did, please follow for more and share it with the ones you like and love, because sharing is caring. Send us your spooky stories and questions on Instagram, Facebook, or via email at hello@themediummatters.com. Head over to themediummatters.com to join our absolutely free newsletter, where we talk about upcoming moon cycles, rituals for the season, everyday magic, and more. Until next time, keep your doors locked, your eyes open, and your holy water close. Bye.